Welcome back to 3 Point Firefighter. Today's guest is BJ Breacher. Now, BJ has been in the fire service for over 15 years. Now, he's a veteran spanning volunteer, private EMS, part-time, and career roles to include wildland and structural firefighting. He's currently a firefighter, advanced EMT, in the DeForest Windsor Fire and EMS Department in DeForest, Wisconsin. He's a lieutenant for the City of Verona Fire Department in Verona, Wisconsin. And he is also a board member for the Brew City Fools. Away from the fire service, he loves to hunt and fish. He likes to work on his ATV. I guess it stays broken because he works on it. That seems like a loop thing to me. Don't know. He stays fit for duty. He's in good shape. He is in good shape. He's not in Jake Barnes good shape. I did like 4 push-ups the other day. I mean, obviously not in a roll and not the up part. Just that it's not important. And he loves to spend time with his girlfriend, Michelle, and her 2 sons. And with that, BJ Breacher. Today's episode is brought to you by Fire Facilities. Make training count with their custom-made, all-steel live fire training facilities. Their made-in-the-USA towers and burn rooms are the best for preparing, responding, and surviving the challenges you face every day.
Yeah. Okay, and have that initial crew handle that incident initially. You talk to guys like the movers and shakers, the Rick people of the world, you know, Rob Ramirez, Babe Abraham, guys like that, that are taking that Rick concept and tweaking it a little bit, and it makes all the sense in the world. Right. So again, that mindset of Rick isn't just for the Rick team. We should all be well versed in Rick skills.
Yes. And a couple things about that. Here's why I love Rick training as a training officer. Mm-hmm. I think Rick training is great. Even if we got rid of it, let's just say for smaller departments, like, you know what, RIT will be, you know, something if we could fill it. But getting people on fire in the building is more important. So let's, even if that happens, RIT training is an invaluable tool for a training officer or a company officer even to evaluate informally, like a needs assessment, a skills assessment. Because if you think about it, RIT training involves, it could be stretching lines, search and rescue, air management, patient packaging, on and on and on. I mean, there's so many cool skills involved with RIT that if you want to see how good your company's doing, do RIT drills and see how you'll see, hey, man, that guy's, you know, he's literally hugging my leg as we, and the other guy is like on the wall. Now, hold on. Let's not search like that anymore. Yep. You know, let's talk about that. Yep. Or that guy cannot tie a knot for shit, you know, in the smoke. Mm-hmm. So, That's why I think it's an invaluable training. And if you have the resources for RIT, fine. And here's another thing, put the right people in RIT. And that would piss some people off in the sense of, for example, you would be on RIT. If I was a battalion chief and it was a big fire and I had a RIT team and you guys were, even if you were second in, I'm like, hey man, you're going to be RIT. Why? I want to go in. Yeah, I know you do, but I know you can get people out.
Yep.
I know who's coming next. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be able to get you out.
Yep.
That kind of thing. So it's, we got to get away from these default settings in the fire service where it's either this or that, because the fire service is now the firefighters, a thinking firefighter. We're smart. We're not just, I always say we're not blue collar anymore and we're not white collar. We're light blue collar. Mm-hmm. We are aggressive people that handle our business with our hands. We get down, we get dirty, but we have the ability to think and be able to turn on a dime. And we should capitalize on that. This whole IFSTA says this, that's what we're going to do from now on. And here's, you know, we're going to do it exactly how we train. That's what training is for.
Yep.
Training is not for you to show exactly how things are done. Mm-hmm. It's to give you a broad picture of how you can manipulate a situation with the skill set you have.
Yep.
I get kind of mad when I think about that default setting. I try to break, I'd give you another one I can't stand, is the first in engine sitting in front of the house, pulling right in front of the house to pull a line off. Mm-hmm. And now you've taken 30, 40.
Baby, we need our room.
Yeah. You got what? Like if you got 105 foot aerial, you know, you took 30, 40 feet off that fucking thing.
Yep.
Right. And every single time I have asked somebody, when I tried to, that was one of the first things I started teaching 11 years ago, 12 years ago. They still don't do it. It's because they get wound up and excited and they pull right in front of the building. Yep. I'm like, stop it. And one of the number one answers is, I don't know. I just, you know, I stopped or my captain told me to. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're in charge of the truck. Mm-hmm. Okay. put that truck where it needs to go. That's your fucking job. Yep. It's not his job. Yep. That's not his job. If he's trying to do your job, then you're a terrible fucking engineer, or he's a terrible fucking captain. Yep. Pull past. You got so much hose on that thing. Mm-hmm. You can do a lot of damage. Plus, I'm a huge believer in 360s with a tick, if possible.
Okay.
That's three sides right there, bro. Sure. Three sides right there. And but it drives me insane. And then you got the ladder truck right there that is can't reach. Mm-hmm. And it's just stupid. You put the toolbox in front of the fire. That's what you need to do.
Yep.
And I don't even like truckies. I don't like them at all. But it's a valuable resource. You need to put in the right place. And if the first 5 minutes are fucked up, the whole thing's going to be fucked up.
Yeah. Well, something I've been talking about a lot recently in some of the trainings that I've done and some of the conversations that I've had around the station with my peers too, is that, we can't be robots. The book says this, therefore we shall do this. The book says this, therefore we should do that. You know, we need to be thinkers.
Yes.
Bryce Hickens from Beaver Dam, who has another podcast. I appeared on it. We talked about operating in the gray. We operate in the gray, and that gives us an opportunity to do some thinking. Which brings up another story that I was never so pissed off in my entire life. One of the moments. So we were doing a house burn, and part of the evolution was we pulled a line in, and I had some young guys with me. And I had a guy on another shift that was probably a little green on the fire side, but wanted to learn. And we went in, we did some things, and we got knocked down, and we started doing overhaul right away. So we start coming out, and the chief said to me that we should be out of the building in 10 to 15 minutes for overhaul. And I sat there for a second. I'm like, either dude forgot how to be a firefighter, or he loves rekindles. And I sat there. And I looked at him and I said, with all due respect, you are wrong. And he kind of sat there like he didn't have a reply. Now, either A, he didn't want to argue with me in front of everybody, or number two, he didn't want to get into it with me because he knew I was right. And I'm just like, this is absolutely freaking the dumb thing to say. Okay. You do overhaul until you get the freaking job done. So you don't have to come back at midnight. You know, another thing that this same chief said to me, and I sat for a second and I just really turned my stomach, second most pissed off time I got in my life, was he said, I could teach a monkey to be a firefighter. And I'm like, no, you can't. Okay, you may be able to teach a monkey to pull a line off the engine and go through the front door and just spray water willy-nilly, but are you going to be able to take a look at that front yard and profile? Are you going to be able to look at when you do window-based search, look at it and go, hey, you know what? There's no smoke coming out of this window. And looking at this building here, I don't see a door there, and I don't see a door on this side of the building, the B side. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to have doors on the C side wall inside the room and also on the D side wall. Okay, so there's a chance that there's doors over there. I'm probably going to do that right-handed search, and there's a chance, or at least a greater chance, in my opinion, that people were trying to exit that room, and they might be in a hallway over there or on that side of the room. You can't do that. Yes. You know, it was one of the most asinine comments I've ever heard. It's inexcusable.
It's usually, like to your point, it's usually ignorance. They don't know what they're fucking talking about. They can't admit it, especially in the moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've also heard people say before, in this exact same conversation, they'll go, well, it's how you present yourself at that moment. You came on way too strong. And I think that's where you fucked up. I'm like, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the answer. The answer is do the right thing, the right time with the right people, period. Yep. I don't give a fuck what rank is. I don't give a fuck how long you've been on. If you got a good idea, do it. And to me, the biggest way to, and this is, I know you've heard this, and it's a very glib way to look at RIT, but like at Maydays in general, how do you handle a Mayday? Well, you don't have them, right? Sure. But what do I mean by that? First off, get people in physical shape. Two, train. Mm-hmm. And under training, I would put no building construction like a sumbitch, right? Do the 360. The 360 is for them, absolutely. But you know what? It tells you a lot about that building in a short amount of time. And you have a tick, it'll tell you even more stuff. Now, you do those things, you learn building construction and no fire behavior. Brother, your chance of maydays go down incredible, right? And with the new studies that are out, like under FSRI, there's no reason for any firefighter that has an internet connection not to be better by learning what the science has proved us about our job and how you apply. Yeah. Can you put a monkey on a hand line and spray water? You absolutely can. Will that monkey know how to water map? How hose streams mechanics work? Yeah. No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Plus, you'll have monkey shit everywhere. And who wants to walk around a monkey shit, right? Mm-hmm. That's fucking stupid.
Monkey probably likes a fog nozzle, too.
Monkey loves a fog nozzle, bro. And not for hydraulic ventilation either. Yes, that was very good. Monkeys use 30-degree fog power cones.
And three-piece Halligans.
Oh, I loved your picture, by the way, the three-piece. I saw one break in front of me in a training one time down in Tennessee. So right in front of me.
The story behind that is it's kind of funny. You know, it's kind of like a moment of vindication for me in my fire career. So I had come to my DeForest, my career department, and had noticed that they had some questionable Halligan choices, which whatever. I'm new here. I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to, you know, but I saw some, you know, I note to self. I got the opportunity to teach forcible entry one night, and I have my own personal set of irons. I'm a pro bar guy.
Bar, no bar.
Oh, absolutely. But anyhow, I brought my tools that night. I took all the hand tools that you might use for forcible entry. We had a Paratec hooligan sitting there, big heavy piece of shit boat anchor, and I just kind of went through and explained to everybody, and I pointed out the merits of each tool and the drawbacks. And I had really pushed this idea that, listen, this thing is a piece of shit, okay? Just look at it. Just look at it, you know, as far as the contour of the tool, what you can and can't do with it. I remember I customized my tool, and one of the guys is like, "Hey, you're going to put shoulders on the other Halligans?" I'm like, "There's nothing to put shoulders on them." But that being said, the joke was that I always have this. I had this thing about three-piece Halligans, and that that'll never happen. And to spite me, they would always grab the three-piece. Whatever, fuck you guys. we were doing a training. Through the Fools in the Fox Valley region, and we had our forcible entry door set up, and we're doing, you know, this and that, and all of a sudden I heard, "Oh my God, get Breacher over here." And I half heard it, and they're like, "Hey, come over here once." And I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Check this out." And I walk over, and one of the guys is holding the Halligan up like this. And I'm like, "Well, son of a bitch, you need to take a picture with this." And that particular Halligan, I actually researched it. It's called the Flame Fighter. And it is basically a pressed Halligan. It's a two-piece, if I remember correctly. It's pressed. It's not even pinned. Okay, it's pressed, and they cover it in a coating to make it look like it's one piece. And that was all the fuel I needed there. So that was... on Facebook, that was my profile picture for the longest time. But I mean, this comes back to firefighting in general. It's a craft, right? Okay. Right. You talk to a construction worker, there may be a reason why they like Milwaukee tools or they like DeWalt. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like to use this analogy from time to time, woodworking. Okay. If a woodworker is going to go out in the garage, he's going to make a table, and you hand him a piece of, say, for instance, and I don't know if you're in the know, but like balsa wood. Balsa, mm-hmm. Very light. They use it for making lures, okay?
Yeah.
Any craftsman worth their salt knows you don't want to make a nice coffee table out of balsa wood, okay? It's just not built for it, okay? Yep. Coming back to what we do, I understand there's a reason why I like my Pro Bar. There's a reason why I put shoulders on it. There's a reason why I put marks on it. There's a reason why I put a notch in it to pull cylinders. Okay?
Yep.
All these things. That's the part of the craft. There's a reason why I prefer a New York hook over a pipe pull, and there's a reason why I get kind of I feel like in gym class when I go down the rope when I see a Lockwood hook, you know?
You don't like it?
Oh, I do actually. I really
okay.
Do.
I say I love the Lockwood hook.
Yeah, I do. It's a heavier tool, it's sexy as hell when it marries with a Halligan.
Is it? Well, you know, in your area, yeah. Do you know Ty Rondo?
Let me tell you something. I know Ty very well. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I meant to bring this up to you. I'm really flattered to be on your podcast. The first podcasts I started following was yours. And the reason why I started following it, because Ty was on it.
Right.
And I had that when I first started looking at different opportunities to train, the Bruce City Fools came up and Ty was a member of the group and was on the board and was there at all the trainings. And I started to go to all these trainings and Ty was there all the time. So Ty was one of those guys that when I was a little baby firefighter, you know, was one of those guys that had an influence on me. So, yes, I know Ty.
So a couple of things, since we're talking tools, and yep. especially the Lockwood hook,
yep.
Ty Rondo still, as far as I know, has the coolest name in the fire service. I've met some guys with great names, but Ty Rondo, badass name.
Yep.
He's one of the nicest guys ever, period.
Yep.
But I bring him up because like him and another fantastic human being, Mike, Mikey Torres.
Oh, dude, they work you get those two guys in a room, and I love Mike, too. Mike is the
best. But they work for Leatherhead, right?
Yeah.
And so they actually do the work. They know what they're fucking talking about, and then Leatherhead listens.
Yep.
I mean, that's amazing. So going back to your story there, you know, if you got to – your tools, everyone says, well, you know, it's a shitty carpenter blames the tools. No, sometimes you got shitty tools. Mm-hmm. And to go along with what you're saying, what gets me mad and wants me to put together a whole big bag of puppet dicks for people to eat mm-hmm. is the 6-pound axe. Mm-hmm. That's good for, and I may be getting you mad, mm-hmm. but you should have a minimum of an 8-pound axe on a fucking mm-hmm. fire truck.
Yep.
The rest are for, those are for 6-pound axes for mm-hmm. like, you know, parades and shit. And where I was at, everybody had, you know, you have a married set of irons, you'll have a 6-pound axe. I'm like, what's the point of this?
Yeah.
I mean, it's simple physics, really. Mm-hmm. And if you know the Halligan bar, mm-hmm. if you know all the use, it's my favorite tool, by the way.
Yeah.
By itself, it's my favorite tool.
Yeah.
But you throw an 8-pound in there mm-hmm. and, you've got something. You've got something. You could do some damage. You can get in and out of places. Oh yeah, yep. absolutely. Mm-hmm. I've seen those 3 pins. I've seen them break in front of me, I hear people say all the time, I use them all the time. They're great. No, they're not great. It's a poor design. Mm-hmm. They're not intuitive like a Paratec or I'm sorry, a Pro Bar.
Yeah.
You know, they're not really made by firefighters for firefighters.
Right. Yep.
It's like somebody saw a market. Mm-hmm. Every time I hear the word hooligan, by the way, I just, I hate that it's so close to Halligan. It's such an insult if you think
marketing.
About it.
Marketing, right?
Oh my God, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that gets me going. And people like to, you know, going back to training. If you don't use those tools a mm-hmm. lot in training, mm-hmm. you're going to forget it. I mean, you're going to, you know, You're going to feel there is a what do you want to call it? There's a flow, right?
Yeah.
You want to hit that flow state, right? And mm-hmm. and the people, here's what kills me. The mm-hmm. people that I have seen be the laziest in the fire service, mm-hmm. hate training more than anybody in the fire mm-hmm. service, mm-hmm. are avid golfers. What does that mm-hmm. mean? These are the people that go out and go to the driving range constantly. Mm-hmm. And you can even ask, and I've done this. I'm like, why do you go to the driving range so much? Oh, well, I'm trying to get better and I'm trying to build up that muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. And I kind of start taking my head and they're like, oh, I know what you're getting at. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm like, it's the same thing. But again, that's for you. Your ego wants to make you better. I love golfing. I love trying to get better and all that. That's not what I'm getting at. Love it. But the people that are the biggest bags of shit and don't want to train love golfing, mm-hmm. or they love, or they're big hunters and they spend all their time, all their money, everything, you know, they do everything they can. Exactly. But you know, the minutia of hunting, you know what it takes. It's like muscle memory to you. It's an easy translation to what we do. And yet they don't do it.
Right.
And it drives me insane. And again, I keep putting on my disclaimer. I was that guy for a long, long time. But I'm sorry. I think you lose that responsibility once you become an officer.
Yep.
I can't stand lazy officers. Can't stand them. Yep. Hate their guts.
Yep.
And there's no argument that you could give me why a captain should be sitting on a couch at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Give me one. Yeah. Yep. Don't tell me one. And I'll tell you right now, it's not true.
Well, I tell you what, you know, I've had my share of lazy officers in the past, and their body of work shows, you know, you're not fooling anybody. The one thing that I like to say all the time is in the fire service, those of us that have been doing this long enough, we know who the show ponies are, and we also know who the workhorses are.
Yep.
So you're not fooling. You may fool, you know, the noobs or people who maybe haven't been with the department very long, but those of us that have been around long enough or know something catch on pretty quick.
Yeah.
You can't hide. You can't hide. Especially on the fire ground, it'll smell you like a bad fart.
You know what? I've had so many firefighters tell me that, you know, the one thing that firefighters are really, really good at across the land is smelling bullshit.
Yep.
And you're not going to pull over or pull bullshit onto a firefighter because they're going to notice it.
Yep.
And I don't know. I see new guys working with known bags of shit officers, right? And it kills me. And the answer is usually, well, what do you expect us to do? We've got to put him somewhere. I'm like, no, I'm not saying don't put him there, but why don't you train your captain? Uh-huh. He's been on for 30 years. He's set in his ways.
Yeah.
He gets a paycheck to do a fucking job.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. That's just how it is.
I've got a story. Three examples of that. And I think we talk about mentors in the fire service. Okay.
Yes.
Very critical individuals, whether, you know, it's a senior man or an officer. There's two things that really jump out at me. Number one, so at my part-time department, we have interns. And I think it's a cool program. If you want to get into the fire service and you're a young guy or gal, okay, and you want to get your foot in the door and not only get those certificates, but also get some on-the-job training, that's the way to go, baby. But we had a guy a couple of years ago at my part-time department. I remember it was like it was yesterday. We're out checking the engine in the morning and he just kind of comes up to me nonchalantly. And he goes, "Hey, can you tell me a little bit about this?" And I'm like, what do you mean? And he goes, "The saw." Okay. Now the guy had been with the department for 6 months. Okay. Since the internship started, he goes, "Can you tell me about this chainsaw?" And I'm like, what do you want to know? Because I'd seen him out there with the saw in the past. But I'm like, well, what do you want to know? Well, like, how do you start it? And I sat there for a second and I'm like, are you shitting me? But before I got mad, I stopped for a second. And I've gotten better at this over probably the past year and a half. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a breath. And I'm going to do the right thing. And I walked over and then I stopped for a second and I remember who his officer is. Remember who his mentor is. Now is an opportunity for you to change his situation. Okay, let's do chainsaw 101. Okay, this is a chainsaw. This is the bar, so on and so forth. This is how you start it. You want to choke it first. This is where the oil goes. The oil is for the bar. It's not to mix. Speaking of which, this is the fuel goes here. It's a 50-to-1 mix. Do you understand all those things? And I sat there for a second and I was just like, okay, I'm not surprised. And it's not his fault. Maybe you should
get on you,
but it's not his fault. And now it's time for me to kind of tilt his career in a better direction. Lazy officer. Lazy.
Yeah, but you know what's really awesome about this is you realized it, one, and two, imagine what it took for him to want to admit he didn't know it, and sure. to you.
Sure.
So sure. you were presented with an opportunity mm-hmm. and you jumped all over it, man. Yep. That's great. I mm-hmm. wish, it's just like me with the truck work stuff. Mm-hmm. When I was trying to learn truck work, not to be a truckie, but just to be better.
Sure.
It takes a lot. I was embarrassed to even consider asking for help. Mm-hmm. But the main guy that helped me on there, there's quite a few did, but there was one in particular, a fantastic human being. Great. He just got a great VES save, window mm-hmm. initiated save. Him and his crew fucking knocked it out of the park. Yeah. My understanding is at the same department, there was no, like, they didn't give him a pen or mm-hmm. or any notoriety for him mm-hmm. and his crew. Mm-hmm. But ironically, the number two position, I believe, gave his son a medal and made a big deal about when he had a save. Yep. So I don't know what that's all about, but this guy doesn't care about it. He doesn't care about awards, mm-hmm. but it's just want to demonstrate the kind of atmosphere possibly.
Sure.
But he did it. Fucking kicked ass, but he's the guy that I went to, and I had probably in the fire service at that time, I probably had 12 years on the job.
Okay.
And I was embarrassed to ask a lot of questions, but Sammy never mm-hmm. made me feel, well, that's not true. His informal rule is three times, and then he calls you dummy.
Okay.
Dummy. I already told you that, dummy. And which is funny. It's a great joke. But yeah, he would, I would go to him, and I just, like, he'd be sitting down. I'd say, hey, brother, teach me about your airbags.
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we go there, and we'd set them up, do everything. Mm-hmm. And we like to talk about a story where I wanted to cut a hole in the roof.
Yep.
And I was on the engine, though.
Yep.
And so I'm like, Sammy was beat. He'd already been doing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Sammy, let's go up and cut a hole in that roof. He goes, man, I'm beating that roof. It's not the best. I'm like, come on. He goes, fine. So he goes up there, and we go up there, and the roof is like, you're on a trampoline.
Yeah.
It's that bad. And he almost cuts his foot off, and he's like, get off this fucking roof, Barnes. I'm like, all right, let's go. But yeah, all this to say, you know, it's hard for people in higher rank, or in my situation, I had more time on the job mm-hmm. to go to a younger person mm-hmm. to ask for that help. Yeah. He didn't make me feel stupid any time. Mm-hmm. Of course, he did mm-hmm. the three dummy thing, which is a great joke. I love when mm-hmm. he did that. But, you know, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yep.
All right. But he took that opportunity mm-hmm. and he helped me. Mm-hmm. And I would come to him more mm-hmm. and more. I got more and more comfortable mm-hmm. and I did everything I could to get better at the job. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Mentors are really important. Another thing that, because at my, I'm not even going to go there, but the point being, there have been instances where I've seen people come into departments and say to myself, you know what? That guy's got potential. That gal's got potential over there. And all of a sudden, after a while, you notice they start associating with the department shitbag. And kind of keep an eye on that one. Because we've got potential for this individual that's here, and he's hanging out with you know who. And I would rather not that well be poisoned because right. we're going to lose a valuable member, somebody that I think has a lot of potential. And it's based on a true story. I've already had contact with that firefighter that has potential, you know, mm-hmm. and he's asked me some questions and I've given him some insight and he feels comfortable, but then he's also fraternizing with the shitbag who the shitbag and I have some history
mm-hmm.
and he's fucked as far as I'm concerned. He's not going to get an endorsement from me. He hasn't gotten an endorsement for me, which you know as well as I do, the fire service, as big as it is, it's very small and we right. all know each other. And if we don't know each other, we know somebody that knows somebody. Watch your words. A lot of people are watching, and your reputation is going to follow you, and people know yep. people.
So, you know, and one of the things I've struggled with mm-hmm. is when I try to reinvent myself, when I try to do the right thing,
yep.
I had quite a few haters that were like, yeah, you did this before, you did that. I'm like, yes. Mm-hmm. And I've told this story before. Mm-hmm. It's nothing I'm proud about, but yep. when I went to college a million years ago,
yep.
And failed out miserably, by the way, I remember I would drink and drive,
mm-hmm.
not hammered, but I've done it a couple of times and it's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I don't recommend it.
Yep.
So I would use that example. I'd be like, okay, so I used to drink and drive, mm-hmm. you know, late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I should not say it. So I can't tell people not to drink and drive now right. just because I fucked up.
Right.
No, I made mistakes. I learned mm-hmm. from my mistakes. Mm-hmm. And now it's my job to make sure you don't make the same mistakes. Sure. You don't have to make my sure. mistakes.
Sure.
And that's what our job is now. Sure. You know, I love hearing you talk about it because you're very open and honest with yourself
mm-hmm.
and you're passionate about the job. That's why I wanted you on here. I mean,
I appreciate
you for a little while now. And you know, we need people like you to do that kind of stuff.
It's the best job in the world, man. Best job in the world.
You know, I feel bad for fighter pilots and astronauts because they don't get to do what we do, bro.
Yep.
Bro,
yep.
I believe that. I believe it wholeheartedly. You know, if I meet an astronaut, I'm going to say, man, whoo, you came in number two, man. You could have been a firefighter. What are you, crazy?
Well, the funny thing is somebody had, I can't remember who said it or how it was pitched, but, you know, you're throwing a party or you're whatever, you're throwing a party and the cops show up. Everyone's like, oh, man, the cops are here. Oh, my God. But if the fire department shows to be like, hey, man, fire department's here. What's up?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And I'm like, yeah, you're back, your house is on fire. Oh, you're here. You know, something like that. But people react differently to us.
Right.
And I've got a lot of friends that are cops. You know, there's more good cops out there than bad. 110%.
But they're not being caught on film.
I'm sorry?
But good cops are not being caught on film. That's the bad part.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We know there's good cops out there.
Absolutely. But I mean, it's the best job in the world. And I feel like me getting into this line of work, I tripped my own clumsiness. I tripped over myself into a bucket of awesome.
Yeah.
And here I am.
You know, in Kentucky, we would call that if you fall into something that it's very beneficial to you. We'd say, I'm going to do a better Kentucky accent, even though I'm from Kentucky. I'll Kentucky it up a little bit.
Sure.
You done fell into a whole box of dicks and come out sucking on a titty.
I've never heard that one before. That paints a very interesting picture, but I know where you're coming from.
Yes, yes. Well, again, it's Kentucky, so that's where I learned a lot of my folksy phrasings.
Okay.
I've enjoyed this so very much, brother. I appreciate it. I appreciate your time. I know you're a fan of the show, and how do I end the show now?
Well, you talk about pranks.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I'm not the biggest prankster in the world. I like to have fun. People will tell you that I do bring a sense of humor to me with work. But there is one, I guess, that I'm particularly proud of, actually. So my chief at my full-time department likes to make fun of the coffee I drink. He calls it his foo-foo. I drink foo-foo coffee. I'm not a Starbucks fan. I'll give a little plug here for Door County Coffee. They've got a brand of coffee, a Highlander Grog, sometimes Turtle in a Cup. I'll have that too. But anyhow, it smells good. And I get compliments. Mm-hmm. Well, my chief is not a coffee drinker and all that. And he always, oh, BJ drinking his foo-foo coffee. I make it a point too. And I get called into the principal's office. I make a cup to go in there. That way things are tilted in my favor, so to speak. And he gets uncomfortable. So now we're kind of even playing field, but I digress. After the first year I got hired there, he had left his office for some reason. And I'm like, oh man, what an opportunity to just pull some kind of shit on him. So I came back to he hates my coffee. So what I did is I went and I actually had some ground up, and I went into the EMS supply room and I got a bunch of 4x4s and laid them out, put the grounds inside of them and made like a little pouch. And I taped it up and I went and got my secretary. I'm like, hey, I want you to witness this so you know there's no funny business going on in his office. And Kay's like, what? I'm like, just humor me, follow me. So we go into the office and I took that little pouch of coffee and I taped it under his desk. And I quick got out of there. And as the day went on, some comments were made about the coffee and all that. And finally came to fruition that, okay, I go, look under your desk. And he looks and he goes, all right, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. But beyond that, I'm really not much of a prankster. Yes, I've taken coats from probies that they've left their gear out and hung it way up in the apparatus bay. And they're like, where's my coat at? I don't know where my coat is at, you know. But that's probably off the top of my head as good as I get. So,
well, just the fact that it was to the chief, yes, I think, yes, elevates it a little bit.
Right.
I wouldn't do that with my chief at all.
Sure, sure. And, you know, to my chief's credit, he's got a pretty good sense of humor. I have a luxury of working at two departments where both my chiefs have a pretty good sense of humor. Well, without being unprofessional, of course.
Right.
But to be able to do that, you know, I got to feel good about that, right?
So, oh, yeah. That's a win. That's,
yeah,
a win.
Yep.
Brother, I appreciate your time. I've had a blast talking, yep, to you. Something, yep, tells me, I don't know what it is, I got a feeling you might be back on the show.
I'd just love to be back on the show. Hey, question for you. You're going to be down at FDIC, right?
Yes, sir.
You going to go see DJ Stone?
Oh, yeah. I was just looking at the when he's speaking.
Yep.
And, yeah, I want to see the grab analysis.
I'll save a chair for you because I loved his podcast as well. I thought that was really cool. I thought
when he talked about his Fort Walton.
Yeah.
That was off the cuff, too. I mean, that was not our plan.
Yeah.
And it just hit me. And he was the coolest guy ever. He's like, oh, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
And he went through the whole thing. It was, mm-hmm, amazing. I was, yeah, there's times where I forget I'm on a podcast. I'm even hosting a podcast, like with Aaron Fields. It happened, a couple other people where I'm such a fanboy, mm-hmm, right? And that was with, yeah, DJ Stone. I was just, yeah, like, listen to every word. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got to ask a question. Excuse me. you know, I get kind of, you know, I just can get lost in some, mm-hmm, of these guys. But yes, I will be up there. Yeah. I will be, Fire Facilities has me up there. I'm doing live podcasts on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've got some games I'm going to play up there. If you find me at certain times, I'll be putting clues into social media. Wow. I'll be getting challenge coins and stickers and, cool, maybe some shirts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll see you up there for sure.
Absolutely. Yep. I'll be down there Wednesday with Brew City at the Brotherhood Bash there that night. And then I'll be spending the day on Thursday, you know, kind of bumming around during the day, and I got to head back that night. But be fun to be back down there. I haven't been down to FDIC in a couple of years. It'll be fun to reconnect with some folks and establish some relationships and just be fire nerds.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Have drinks with other firefighters and talk fireman shit.
Yep.
Brother, thank you for your time. You stay safe.
No, you as well. It's been a pleasure, Jake.
See you, brother.
Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Fire Facilities. Make training count with their custom-made, all-steel live fire training facilities. Their made-in-the-USA towers and burn rooms are the best for preparing, responding, and surviving the challenges you face every day.